much better, I guess. In 1651, Pastor John Clark, who pastored technically the first, well, specifically the First Baptist Church on American soil in Newport, Rhode Island, he had a member, a frail older member who lived in Massachusetts, and that man asked if Pastor Clark and some of his men would come up and actually just minister to him. There was he was getting older and dying, and he wanted them to have the Lord's Supper and preach to him. And so Pastor Clark grabbed really what was his assistant, Obadiah Holmes, and another layman in their church, and they went the 80 miles. They walked 80 miles to this man's home in Massachusetts. Now, in Massachusetts, it was illegal to be anything but a Congregationalist. The Puritans controlled the state church there, and so word got out that these men were coming, and this is, I'm telling you the quick part of the story. This is not the story we're going to talk about, really, but the magistrates basically broke into the service the next day when Pastor Clark was preaching, and they arrested these three men for coming to Massachusetts and promoting Baptist doctrine, for holding the Lord's Supper and trying to baptize a few folks in that kind of underground church there. Well, what happened next was perhaps the most flagrant, brutal expression of bigotry in American colonies, even for another 100 years. But they publicly whipped the who was really the assistant pastor, Obadiah Holmes. And you may remember there's a film that we've watched of that beating. Obadiah Holmes was beaten so severely that he didn't die. I think they were trying to kill him. But his crimes were he was a Baptist in Massachusetts, and he didn't die, but he wrote in his diary that for I think it was for 60 days he could only sleep on his elbows and his knees. He was so brutally beaten with this whip, just basically ruined his health for the rest of his life. But anyway, that's another story, and we won't talk about that today. But I just wanted to give you the background. But after Holmes was whipped, and there were two men that stood up to help him. A man's name was John Hazel, and another man's name John Spur. And they approached Holmes after the scourging. They took him down from the pole. They comforted him. They talked to him, ministered to him there. Both of them were Baptists. They were one man, John Hazel, who we're going to focus on. He was an older man in that day, in mid-60s, frail health, sickly. And those men were then arrested for showing compassion to this man, Obadiah Holmes. I hope I'm explaining this correctly so you can follow what happened there. So after the beating, these men helped this man who was beat, and they were arrested for helping that man. So they were thrown into prison. Someone approached the courts for Spur, John Spur, and gave him money, and Spur was released. But Hazel's case is a little more interesting, and I want to talk about that this morning. But as I said, he was an older man for that day, and that he was in very bad health. But they set a trial for him. That would happen right about now in 1651. And at the trial, they asked if he was in agreement with the actions of Obadiah Holmes in coming to Lynn, Massachusetts, and to baptize people and to administer the Lord's Supper. And Hazel, they had never met a man like John Hazel, and so he was a crafty old Baptist, and he defended himself by answering that he was present to be questioned, not for the action of others, but for his own deeds. And he demanded to know what law he, John Hazel, had broken. And the court realized that they had a little bit of a crafty guy here, and this, they had to be careful. So they returned him to jail for the night, had to think this over. When he came to court the next day, the governor read his sentence, and which was that he must pay 40 shillings and be whipped himself for comforting Obadiah Holmes. Hazel said, well, I request a jury. He said, as an English subject, I am allowed by law to be tried by jury. And again, he asked what law he had broken. Well, the magistrates answered that he was in contempt of authority for comforting a criminal. Well, John Hazel thought for a minute. He said, well, wait a minute. He said, Obadiah Holmes had been guilty of this infraction of coming to Massachusetts as a Baptist, but he was whipped publicly, and he paid for his sin. It satisfied the law. His guilt was removed. The magistrates all got together and said, okay, they paused for a little while and suggested that if he felt necessary to show mercy to Holmes, he might have done it privately. And Hazel said, well, he was at liberty in that place. He was as free as any other to do anything he wanted to as far as publicly like that. Well, they didn't know how to answer that, so they sent him back to jail for the night. When he came back the next day, they said he had to pay the fine, which he refused to do, or the whipping was going to be administered. And the court said, however, we're going to reduce the whipping down to only 10 beatings because he was older and they knew that he was of frail health. Well, so he refused. They sent him back to jail. And every day they came to him and threatened him with, okay, today's the day. Today's the day you're going to get beat or you're going to pay that fine. Well, he didn't. They were trying to trick him into paying the fine and admitting the guilt. He didn't day after day. It was clear that he was equal to the threat, and the magistrates decided that public opinion, they realized what they had done to Holmes, and the public opinion was really turning against them because of that, and they thought that if they beat this old man, that certainly public opinion people have had enough, and they may, you know, in a sense, overthrow the government. So Hazel demanded. They said he would not be whipped. They decided, and that he was free to leave. And Hazel said, "No, I'm not going to leave. I'm going. You need to give me a discharge. I'm not just going to walk out of here. You need to discharge me as part of the law." Well, the court was totally embarrassed by this. Really, what they thought was a bitter defeat. You know, they had been totally turned on their heads by this old Baptist, and so they gave him his discharge. It's just funny that he was no, Hazel was no stranger to this kind of thing, and he had gone to jail previously in his ministry, and so he had come to believe that the only relief you could ever get from the government, this tyranny, was in assuming a firm position and determining to stand against this kind of thing. What's interesting about this case is that Hazel wrote his memoirs for the next couple of days, and about this time, the first part of October 1651, he actually died. So within 2 weeks of this happening, he did die. And the reason I tell you this story is very important to us, actually. Actually, this story of Obadiah Holmes and John Hazel really echoed down through the ages, through the next 100 years. The Founding Fathers, when they sat to write the Constitution, actually reviewed the case of Obadiah Holmes. And in our Constitution, and one of the amendments is the search and seizure amendment. And that is there because of what the Massachusetts government did in breaking into that service and arresting those men for preaching the gospel. And so it's a very, very important thing when Madison sat and wrote the Constitution, they actually reviewed this story. And so, you know, we think of these times and these men that suffered greatly, and yet how important this is to us today, that we can meet like this and be guaranteed, our Constitution guarantees that the authorities cannot break in and arrest us for meeting like this. And it goes back to this terrible whipping of Obadiah Holmes and all that followed. And so I just want to bring that story to you today. It's a really kind of a very amazing story in American history, but certainly important to us as Baptists. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for, of course, Obadiah Holmes, but also John Hazel and his stand for the Lord. And he didn't know it, but actually at the very, very end of his life. All right, ushers, if you'll come, we'll take our offering.